In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you have a nice Labor Day weekend last weekend? Labor Day signals the unofficial end of summer. Some children are back in school already. Some will start back shortly. That all depends, I guess, on the coronavirus situation, which seems to be improving some. We will have our first adult Sunday school this Sunday, September 13th. Classes for children will begin at the end of the month. And on this Sunday afternoon, we'll be cutting cabbage for the annual sauerkraut dinner. For better or worse, Labor Day traditionally signals the ramp up to the presidential election. Slowly but surely, things are getting back to normal. Personally, I don't believe it'll be a new normal. I think it'll be, well, a normal that's normal. For many people, going to worship on Sunday morning is normal. Worship attendance usually decreases over the summer, with many people vacationing and doing their other summer things. This year, with COVID-19, a number of people found it necessary to stay away from public gatherings such as worship for health reasons. I've talked to a number of our member families who fully intend to return to church when they feel it's safe to do so. Some people haven't been attending, I guess, for other reasons. We human beings are creatures of habit. We tend to do the same things over and over again. I'll bet you do the same things the same exact way every morning when you wake up and every night before you go to bed. Once the routine forms, whether it's good or bad, it's hard to change. Likewise, coming to worship is a habit, and not coming to worship is also a habit. The Sunday after Labor Day in many churches is the day that many people who have been partially or wholly away from worship over the summer get back down to the serious business of the habit of worship. That begs the question, why should anyone come to worship anyway? What is so important about the church? Can't I be a Christian all by myself? It's kind of like asking, can I be a soldier if I'm not in an army? Or can I be a student if I'm not part of a school? Perhaps those things are possible, but they certainly wouldn't be very satisfying or of much value to yourself or anyone else. I know that I'm preaching to the choir because you are the people who are tuning in to this worship service, and many more people will hear this sermon on Sunday morning, and you all made the good decision to worship. But if you need to do more reflection on why that's a good choice, or if you would like some reasons to share with your family and friends why they should make that good choice too, I'm going to give you 7 good reasons to come back to church. Now, those that have a bulletin will see that these reasons are listed in a sermon notes section. I always thought it was a little pretentious to put an area for sermon notes in the bulletin, but these might come in handy if you want to share the case for coming back to church with your family and friends. Number one, you need to hear the word. Sure, you could read the Bible at home, but honestly, how many people do? A lot of devotional booklets have one Bible verse per day. Some people tend, if they read the Bible at all, to read the same familiar verses over and over again. We find that a lot of lifelong Christians then really don't know all that much about the Bible. In worship each Sunday, we get a psalm, an Old Testament and an epistle reading, the gospel reading, and bits of scripture scattered throughout our liturgy. Over the course of the year, you get the full story of Jesus and a big dose of the rest of the Bible, not just the familiar parts. Not only that, here there are Bible studies and sermons that challenge us to think about what God says. And there's something special about hearing the word proclaimed. Hearing the word communicates us in a way that shares God's truth on a whole different level. Bottom line, God speaks to you here in worship. Number two, you need to receive the sacrament. During the height of the pandemic, when the government shut down the churches, there were discussions about whether or not people could consecrate their own communion at home. The synod came down resolutely that that could cause a lot of confusion and decided against it. There were also questions about what would be the best ways to distribute Holy Communion if we celebrated it at all when we got back to worshiping in public. Through it all, I often heard from people who very much wanted to receive the sacrament again. You, as a Christian, know how important that is. Think about it. Every Sunday, the true body and blood of Christ are right here on our altar and in your hands and mouths. And yet, some people say, meh, is that all you got? I think I'll skip Jesus today. I've got more important things to do. Don't you be those people. Receive the blessing of Christ present here for you. You need the sacrament. Number three, you need to sing. Yes, you heard that right. You need to sing. Other than happy birthday to you and maybe the national anthem, adults don't get to sing in public very much anymore. Singing lifts our spirits, but there's more to it than just that. So often when I do worship services in nursing homes, sometimes there are people there with dementia, people who couldn't tell you what they had for breakfast this morning. They may not be able to tell you even their own name. But they can sing every word to Amazing Grace. They can sing every word to Jesus Loves Me and so many other hymns. These great old hymns leave an imprint on our souls that time and disease cannot take away. Singing comforts and encourages us. You might need that someday. You might need that today. You need to sing. Number four, you need other Christians. Not infrequently. The church and I get approached by people who we don't know for help and with gasoline money or utility bill or something like that. Sometimes the request is small monetarily. Sometimes it's huge. We know some requests are genuine, that the need is real, but sometimes the requests are a sham and a scam. Over the years, I've had a number of people run some very creative scams aimed at churches. I've often imagined taking a week's vacation, going to a city where no one knows me, and going to all the different churches and trying the scams I've seen and see how much I could gather. I think I'd get quite a haul. I'd give it all back, of course, but it'd be an interesting exercise. For these people, we do what we can, helping some strangers, but we can't help all. Now, imagine you had an urgent need. A medical bill you couldn't pay, a house about to go into foreclosure, or something like that. Do you think your brothers and sisters here at First Trinity who know you and love you would step up to do all that they could do? You know they would. And what if your crisis was emotional or spiritual and you needed to talk to somebody really bad? even in the wee small hours of the morning. You could call me, certainly. And there are many other people here, your friends, who would talk to you and be there for you in every way that they could. You don't find relationships like that in many places outside the church. You need other Christians. Number five, other Christians need you. All the things I just said about why you need other Christians, you can turn around to be reasons that other Christians need you. And there's at least a couple more. The world doesn't value church attendance much anymore. When you come to church, you are setting an example of righteousness for others to follow. You are making a positive statement that worship is important and you're witnessing to your faith. Your support of the church makes it possible for the church to reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ, both now and in the future. We are saved by what Christ has done for us, but God shares with us his glory and allows us to be heroes alongside of him, sharing the gospel. God touches others through you. Other Christians need you. Number six, you need to hear that you are forgiven. Our gospel reading is all about being forgiven and forgiving others. Christ died that we might be forgiven. Do you ever feel guilty? Are you ever worried about the things you've done? Have you ever been ashamed of your thoughts and actions? God's got a cure for that. That came on the cross, and here in worship is where God tells us that we are pardoned, we are freed from our sin. We hear that in the order for confession and absolution. And the Holy Communion is the sacrament of forgiveness by Christ's blood. And baptism washes away the stain of our sin, the baptism we remember every Sunday. Christ calls us also to forgive others. Many people stay away from worship because they can't forgive others, or they won't forgive others, or they don't want to forgive themselves, or they think that they don't need forgiveness. If we meant what we said in the confession, if we mean what we'll say when we pray the Lord's Prayer and talk about trespasses, then we are forgiven. Then the time for feeling and thinking that old way is over. It's done. It's past. General amnesty has been declared. Everyone is forgiving and can be forgiving. It's time to put away what divides us and move on. Let it go. That's hard to do, I know. There are people that I have a real tough time forgiving. But for the sake of Christ and his church, not to mention our own sakes, we have to get along with others. Hate corrodes the vessel that contains it. There is nothing anyone has done to you or me that is worse than what we did to Christ. Our sins crucified him. So if God can forgive the murder of his only son, how can we not forgive others for the relatively infinitesimal sins and crimes and insults that we have received? How can we not want to live together in peace? You need to hear you are forgiven. You need to say to others, you are forgiven. Number six should have been the kicker that ends the discussion. But if you're still not convinced, here's number seven. God wants you to worship. The commandment to keep the Sabbath holy made God's top 10 list. Jesus set an example for us by attending the synagogue services in his time. The disciples first encountered the risen Christ while gathering on Sundays. Paul warns us not to neglect meeting as some people do. When I was growing up, sometimes my parents would tell me to do something and I'd ask, why? And they would say, because I said so. I'm sure they had good reasons for whatever they told me to do, but maybe they didn't have the time or the necessity to explain them to me. Maybe I just wouldn't have understood. Since I depended on them and trusted them, I did what I was told. Well, most of the time. Well, maybe some of the time. Well, maybe a few times. We ask God, why should we come back to church? And he says, because I said so. Knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us enough to give us the gift of song and the gift of one another, and even more so, to give us forgiveness in the word and the sacrament, we trust him to steer us right. And he says the right place to be every Sunday is right here, praising him. Amen.